Let's just catch up now on one of the other changes that has come into effect this very morning. A part of the Online Safety Act, there are changes which are aimed at protecting children. Peter Kyle, the technology minister, says it's laying foundations for a safer, healthier, more humane online world. He says tech firms will be held to account if they fail to adhere to these new measures, which are to require online platforms to have age checks in place using facial age estimation or other checks if they host pornography or other harmful content. Well, we're going to get a view on this now from Fevzi Turkalp, who joins us, the tech expert, editor of Gadget Detective and the Gadget Detective podcast. Fevzi, these age restrictions that we've heard about and are now in force, tell us a bit more about what this actually means.
So this is all part of the Online Safety Act, which has been rolling out its various measures. So from today, websites that contain pornography are legally required to have robust age verification. So it's no longer legal for them to have simply something saying, are you 18? Yes, no. They must use one or more robust means. And that's quite interesting. You know, some websites have tried to comply in various ways. Others, I suspect, will fail. And some may actually withdraw or at least block UK users. So it is interesting. As I say, the most... the basic form is just to ask people if they're 18 or not. Surprisingly, you know.
Does that count? Just a, are you 18? Yes.
It doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't meet the new requirements, but people have been using it. And 10% have been falling foul of that, so funny enough. You know, people have actually been saying.
Seriously, people, are you 18 or not? You say no.
Well, what's not clear is when they tell you 10%, whether that 10% then go on to try again and say yes this time, or whether they give up despondent. It's not clear to me. But there are other means. I mean, the most accurate, reliable means is for requiring sort of government-verified ID to be uploaded. You know, so that's like 95% accurate. But that's also the one that... people are likely to be least happy with, and you know, we start to impinge upon people's privacy well before then, and particularly these sorts of websites. You know, who wants to upload their, you know, their passport in this context? There are other ways. I mean, facial recognition using AI software is about 70% accurate, but of course, people will try and find ways of playing videos of people who are older through the channel, but you know that's quite a good way. One of the ways I like, which is still under being researched, is this idea of being able to verify your age to a website without actually giving any information about yourself. And the analog to that is the way in which, say, Apple Pay works on a smartphone. So with Apple Pay on a smartphone, we upload our card details into a sort of trusted enclave on the device itself. And then when we buy something, the vendor doesn't get our card details. What they get is a promissory token saying, you know, this purchaser will be paying and give that. So the advantage of that is the website never gets your card details, and therefore they can't sell them or have them stolen from themselves. In a similar way, it may be possible in the future, not yet, to verify our age when we set up our phones by some means. Maybe it does include uploading something or other, or at the least, you know, the AI scanning. But you could verify, and then when visiting websites that require age verification, it could just give a verification token. That would be, to me, the best way, because it should be reasonably robust, but it should also protect the privacy of the user, or at least you're only trusting one person with that, or one entity, you know, say Apple or Google, or how much one would want to trust them.
And the whole point of this is to protect children. At least that's what the government says, the reason for the age restrictions and so on. And it is, although it's pornography, there are other websites to do with potentially damaging, harmful material, eating disorders, that sort of thing. So it's probably coming from a good place. But do you think in reality this will work?
Not on its own, no. 41% of children aged 11 to 14 understand VPN usage, so VPN being a virtual private network which allows a user of the internet to appear to be in a different country, for example. And as soon as you do that, because this is a UK law, and this is the problem with trying to do this sort of law. Imagine, you know, loads of farmland, but each plot is owned by a different farmer, and one farmer decides to put up a fence. But all you need to do is walk around the fence because it's one plot in amongst many. And that's the problem of trying to come up with this sort of legislation on a national basis, is that it's very easy to circumvent. If you pretend to be somewhere else, then you won't be asked for robust age verification. And, you know, that's the problem, as I say, 41% of 11 to 14-year-olds. So, and we saw this in Florida, because in the United States, 19 states have already enacted verification laws. And in Florida, there was a 1,150% increase in VPN usage after the law came in. So, you know, I think that sort of gives you the answer. But, I mean, people are not stupid, and this is alarmingly easy to circumvent.
And what if the tech companies don't go along with this, don't put in some kind of tech solution to this? Do they get punished?
They get blocked.
I mean,
you can
they
block
could
it.
Actually be blocked, right?
Yeah, I mean, whether there'll be all this sort of cat and mouse. And I think the other issue, I guess, I have with this is that the respectable companies, the legitimate companies, will do their best to comply or withdraw from the market. And as I say, some have done that. But that might just push people, and particularly children, to look up websites that perhaps are more extreme and less worried about being regulated, perhaps even, you know, on the dark web. The dark web being the part of the internet that doesn't easily show up on web searches. You know, it won't come up on your Google search, but there are ways. And, you know, it might push people that way. You know, you outlaw it for minors. It is outlawed for minors, but you try to enforce the law and you push people into corners of the internet that we perhaps shouldn't push them into.
And I noticed the government also this week, Peter Kyle, the technology minister, saying they were really worried about the amount of time kids spend on apps and online, which is fair enough. I think we're all a bit worried about that, and not just about children. But he was talking about a two-hour screen limit. And again, I thought, well, is that possible? Is that technically achievable?
Again, really difficult for them to enforce that. The thing is, they're going against the group that's probably most capable of circumventing these sorts of measures. You know, young people, you know, where there's a will, there's a way, and some can be very creative in finding ways around it. It's very difficult. I mean, because are they going to try and block individual devices? Are they going to try and block IP addresses? If they're looking at it as the IP address, how will they, you know, deal with the fact that there are people who aren't minors in the household? And again, VPNs will just make you appear to be somewhere else completely anyway. So I would say the chances of this measure being really effective are low. You could argue that it sends a message. But I believe that it's kind of missing the point. The point is that this stuff is harmful, and there are websites that produce all sorts of harmful content, not just pornography, as you've said. And it would be far better to, instead of trying to put gates on it with age verifications, or maybe as well as verifying people's ages, maybe look at how these websites are harmful, because they're not just harmful because they've got extreme content. they're harmful in the ways that social media sites can be harmful to all of us. They are intrinsically a addictive product, and we should maybe look at that. You know, it's a bit like accepting that there are drug dealers and then trying to put a curfew on what time you can buy drugs from them. It would be better to deal with the harm that they cause directly. Maybe look at their algorithms to see the way that they promote hateful content or anxiety, and maybe just outlaw certain business models as well.
Is the problem in a way, though, that you touched on with your great example of the fields and the fences and so on, that all of this is in the hands, in a way, of especially some very big tech companies, and they are worldwide, aren't they? So what little old us do in the UK, can that ever really have much impact?
Yeah, if we tried to bring in something truly effective as an individual nation and not just tinkering at the edges, then they wouldn't have it, and you'd be forced to. I mean, just like how the government just backed down against Apple. You remember you and I have spoken about this before, how the UK government was requiring Apple to provide a back door. What did Apple do instead? It said, well, in that case, UK companies don't get the best security anymore. Mm. So we were all poorer. And now,
so some of these big tech companies are actually more powerful in a way than some nations' governments.
Yeah, we've seen them butt up against Australia and one or two other countries, and the nations have lost. Do you really want to be the government that bans people from using, you know, Facebook, for example, or TikTok? You're taking away the drug of choice from some people. So I think it's really difficult. I do reiterate that the answer here is to deal with the harmful nature of the product rather than trying to put a timed gate on it. I'm not against this, I just don't think it will work.
Firstly, thank you. Firstly, Tokalp joining us there from Gadget Detective. More coming up in a moment on LBC.